Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the GVS Full Year 2021 Financial Results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Massimo Scagliarini, CEO of GVS. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon to everybody, and welcome to the presentation of 2021 overall year. Okay. I suppose everyone is seeing the presentation. 2021 has been a very complex year for us. This because we had the transition from COVID-19, but not only, we had complexity in supply chain, and we had complexity in relation to the rise of the price of the raw material. Nevertheless, I believe that the team performed very well, and we closed the year at nearly 340 million. If we analyze this result based on our historical product line, represent a growth of 9%. Why I'm saying that? Because we will see later on a graph where we try to clean the result of the group from any COVID-19 impact to give you a better vision on how we have performed in our historical line. Q4 stronger than Q3, as we were expecting. The only one that slowed down a little bit in November and December, the only division that slowed down a little bit in November and December is the Energy & Mobility. Nevertheless, Energy & Mobility closed a year in growing compared with the previous year. Due to the trouble on the supply chain of our customer, we had some, let's say, cancellation of frozen or the postponement of order from 2021-2022, and this has generated a little slowdown in the Energy & Mobility. Very nice, Health & Safety. They come back to the 20 million a quarter, and of course, please thank you also to the RPB acquisition that we closed during 2021. As I mentioned before, we had a lot of trouble in supply chain. We had trouble in price increase of raw material. To confirm the resilience of our group, I believe that we have closed the year with a very nice result of 32% EBIT for a total value of 808 million. Q4 show this acceleration and show all the job that we have done in the industrial structure, bringing back EBITDA to a 27.4%. Net financial position 107, and this principally for the acquisition of RPB, 92 million of net cash generation, and right-of-use of about 11 million. All the KPI are definitely under very safe result. 0.4% the leverage. As I mentioned earlier, we would like to share this graph with you because here you can understand the historical organic growth of the group clean from the effect of the COVID-19. If we take out 100 million of 220 million, of disposable masks, and we take out 50 million of disposable masks for the 21, we can see that our historical business had a growth of 12% from 19 to 21. And this is absolutely in line with the historical trend of 11% that we had in the last 20 years. Same thing for the EBIT, that it keep growing, and we can see even a more aggressive growth up to 18% in this area, from of course from 19. And the most important part is that we have been able to manage resizing of the industrial activity quite quickly in the third and the fourth quarter, bringing back nice results by the end of the year. Disposable mask remain a normal business in our product portfolio, but of course, in terms of value, nothing to do with the past 2 years. A quick view on the three divisions, healthcare and life science, again, is driving the group, as always, with a very nice growth compared with the previous year. Energy mobility, again, a bit slow down by the end of the year, but overall growing compared with 2020. And health and safety, of course, is the more penalized because it's the one more impacted by the transition of COVID-19, but thanks also to the acquisition of RPB. As I mentioned before, we had an excellent fourth quarter that is pushing us versus our very interesting 2022. Okay, we'll pass the speech to our CFO, Mario Saccone, to comment all the financial highlights.
Okay, good afternoon. A little bit deep analysis about the main KPI of the company. EBITDA, as Massimo said, arrived to 32% at the end of 2021, keeping a really, really good level after the record of 2020. Q4 2021 confirmed the restart of the positive trend in terms of profitability, and this after the slowdown that we registered in Q3. The acceleration of Q4 was due to the consolidation of the new acquisition and also the restart of the process in recovering efficiency in our industrial structure, overcoming part of the delay of the actions that we needed to put in place to face the slowdown of the professional mask of the Q3 period. Adjustments in EBITDA are the same that we described all over the year, and so nothing of a new. We are talking about residual costs for the IPO of 2020 and disposable of assets extraordinary that we made in China on the beginning of the year. And so all the costs related with this kind of activities, and then obviously with the acquisition of RPB in August. About the EBIT, the trend is exactly the same of the EBITDA trend. The only difference is always the PPA adjustment the depreciation, the differences between EBITDA and EBIT, and the only adjustment that we have in addition is the adjustment related to the PPA that reached the level of 5 million in 2021 due to the addition of RPB acquisition. Really good improving in terms of net financial expenses, both in absolute value and the incidence on sales, and this is related to the reduction of the finance interest on loan, and also for a big part of the year, the reduction of the full loan of the company. But also with the new funding that we realized with the, for the RPB acquisition, in reality, the level of the cost is really lower than the past. Tax rate about 25%, that is in line with our expectation, a little bit better in reality, even considering all the accruals that we realized at the end of the year to prevent any kind of risk in this area. So this is, the tax rate is improving compared with 2020. So the impact in terms of net income of all these trends is a positive impact. Q4 was really, really strong in terms of net profit contribution, and at the end of the year, the full year realized 22% of adjusted net income for the group. CapEx are in line with the normal historical trend of the company, because we are in a between 6 and 6.5% in the average on sales in terms of CapEx, and this means that we came back on our normal trend, overcoming the extraordinary trend that we realized in 2020 due to the acceleration of the CapEx program related to the COVID, the COVID scenario. Trade working capital is a little bit stronger than the past, and this was related to the two main effects that are related to the correction during the year related to the professional mask volume, which was different compared with our original provision. And then with all the prudence that we applied in management of the inventory during the year to face the supply chain disruption and raw material trend in terms of increase of cost. Research and development expenses are increasing in terms of value, more or less 3% compared with the past year, even if in terms of incidence of turnover is more or less on the same level, because we could be only at 6% versus 5.5% of the year before. Financial position of the company, as we see, rise up to 108 million at the end of the year. So one time more, one time on the EBITDA, with a cash conversion that is still up to 78%, 79%. So really good profile in terms of finance and cash creation from the company, and the increase of the level of net financial position is obviously due to the impact of the acquisition that we closed during the year, and SPB acquisition that has an impact in terms of upfront that we paid in August, more or less 130 million, and the earnout that was in the provision, and we are concretizing on the beginning of this year. that is 90 million euro on the 2021 balance sheet. Dividends and buyback are the other two cash out registered during the year, and then all the operative cash out related to the CapEx and related to the variation of trade working capital and the full net working capital, where the big difference is related to the tax payment and the provision of tax payment related to the 2020 that was paid in 2021. The speech to Massimo to talk about the future now, talking about the next 3 years and 2022.
Yeah, this year for the first time, we would like to give you some visibility on our strategic plan for the next, let's say, 4 years, including 2022. And we believe that this it's very important, because now that we are out of the COVID-19, we think that it's even more important to show where we think will go our organic growth for the next few years. And as you can see from the graph, our expectation is to keep our historical growing organic growing rate of 11%. And this against our market that grows normally 7%. Working constantly on the EBITDA, as we have been done in the last 10 years, to keep this always to the top level. Of course, cutting out also all the possible synergy from the M&A that we have already done historically and that we will do for the future. 2022. We confirmed the result reached in 2021 with a light growth, but in reality, again, I invite you to clean this result from the COVID-19 effect that in 2021 was nearly 50 million. So if you look at this result of 22, that will mean a very important organic growth of our historical market and product line. And so but organic is not the only way to grow. As you know, as we have been done in the last 15 years, we have been very active in M&A, and with the strategic plan that we have, with the pipeline that we have, our expectation, if we include the M&A activity, is to reach a CAGR of nearly 18%, that we believe is remarkable through a period so complex. The aim is to keep the 32% target in terms of EBITDA. Of course, this will be a work to be done on the synergy that we need to carve out from the acquisition, the work that we need to do constantly in the better saturation of all our industrial manufacturing side. So say that we can see that again, we are confirming an 11% of organic plus 7% growth generated by M&A. That is plus or minus in line with our historical growth that was 11% organic and 4% by M&A. being very important, being very strong, the pipeline for the M&A activity, we have decided that we will not distribute dividend this year, and this to preserve the financial reserves for the growth of the group and for the M&A activity. Geopolitical risk. As everyone, we are monitoring daily all the new variables that enter into the business. So we are absolutely paying a lot of attention and keep the team ready to react to any possible impact that might come from this type of geopolitical risk. The exposure is about 0.3% on the Ukrainian and Russian market, so very marginal, and is only commercial because we don't have any manufacturing plant in this area. Okay, the principal activity for 2022, as I already mentioned, M&A that is principally focusing on life science and healthcare market. ESG, we are working to have more focus on our stakeholder and, of course, on the carbon neutrality. We continue to work on new product development. We have recently developed a new material, a new membrane material to be used on the hydrogen application. We're just on the initial phase, but the results are very nice. And so we will keep working on this area as many other for all the other division. Geographical expansion, Asia remain the main focus for this year. We have to complete the Vietnamese area and eventually the Indonesian office. A lot of focus on our lean philosophy. We have a lot of activity to be done on the industrial area. We have to consolidate certain production. We have to optimize some manufacturing plant, and so that will be definitely one of the nine and core focus. Again, R&D in new membrane, it's remain one principal point of investment because the filtration material, the membrane material, are at the base of our business. As we keep growing in terms of product portfolio, we are keeping investing in the commercial organization that need to be equilibrated with the new addition that we have in the portfolio. Of course, finally, we can work on Puerto Rico because the travel are allowed again, and so we have already been a few times in Puerto Rico. There are other people that are there already from 1 month, so there is a lot of activity in the integration of Puerto Rico and RTD. The difference is that RTD is already traveling with a very nice EBITDA. Puerto Rico is still far behind from our target, so we expect to bring nice results in 2022 from this production unit. I believe that this is all
finished. So now we have space for Q&A.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Matteo Bonizzoni of Kepler. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I would like to check a little bit this guidance to 2025 with a quite significant 18% revenues growth, which we have projected. So doing the calculation, we derive that in 2025, you plan to achieve sort of 620 million of revenues if we apply this 18% CAGR. So basically, does it mean that you plan to do additional, because currently, I don't know other analysts, but I think more or less the same, I expect slightly more than 400 million euro of revenues in 2025. So the question is, do you expect to add, in terms of additional M&A compared to the one that you have already announced, sort of 200 million of revenues, just to check if our calculation is correct. And the other question is, this 11% organic growth, currently I am expecting 6% organic growth from now to 2025. So excluding clearly the acquisition which you have already announced, just organic. So I'm trying to understand how a 6% organic CAGR can become 11, in the sense that I struggle to see that. Is just to check with you what is the origin of your calculation. Thanks.
The first question is related to the first CAGR that we communicate is 11%, that is based on 2019 to 2025 and is a standalone plan. So without new acquisition other than the acquisition that we have already communicated to the market. The second slide was with the 18% of CAGR, and in that case we are considering also a new target to add in the perimeter for the future. So,
okay, clear. So 11 organic means organic including the one which you have already announced.
Yes, because after the first 12 months, the addition for us is
organic
growth, normal organic growth.
Okay, clear. If I may add another question. Sorry.
And the same is to be applied. So let's say that next year we will do an acquisition of X. On the following year, this become organic.
Yeah, okay. And if I may add on M&A, can you just, because it's going to remain an important topic for your growth, can you elaborate on your priorities in terms of maybe business segments, geographies? For example, are you still focused on Asia? And should we assume that margin in Asia on average could be in general in line with your average for the group or below? And also, what kind of indicative multiple are you planning to pay?
Okay, the strategy is to remain in healthcare and life science, and so the pipeline now is focused on this for M&A. For what regard Asia, in this moment we are thinking more in expanding our distribution network, and so not in specific acquisition. So the acquisition that we are looking now are more in Europe and United States.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Will Turner of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, afternoon, everyone. I just want a question on the decision not to pay a dividend. Just in terms of thinking, does this mean that there's a large acquisition potentially near term? Is that the reason why, I think? And then, just going forward, what can we expect, really, with a dividend policy? Would this be quite a frequent scenario of pausing dividends ahead of potential acquisitions, or what are your thoughts there?
First question is, we are deciding to avoid any distribution this year because we have different discussion on the table that can have a big financial absorption, and to be more focused on the strategy, we decide to keep finance resources concentrated on the group. Then for the future, we expect to restart with normal trend of policy, so we expect to restart with 30-40% of our net profit distribution starting from the next year.
Okay, that's clear. I guess a kind of broad question. Obviously, you don't really have too much. Obviously, the economic environment is changing quite rapidly at the moment, there's not really much direct exposure to Ukraine and Russia, but there's obviously a lot of cost inflation and, you know, some anxiety about maybe like the kind of like European consumer. When I look at your businesses, obviously energy and mobility may be impacted, but is there any other way that you see GVS being impacted by current events? And can you just give a little bit more color on how you see 2021 developing? I know obviously there's a lot of uncertainty, but I'd be interested in your kind of opinions and views for the businesses.
Today it's very difficult to do any type of forecast in terms of what will happen with this geopolitical tension. What I can tell you is that, of course, one of the more evident impact is the energy cost. But we have already done this analysis. Due to the fact that we signed contract already more than 1 year ago in many areas of the world, we are not seeing big impact from the cost point of view of energy. So we have already done this analysis. Energy mobility is a big question mark because more than the market, we need to see also how the consumer will react to this situation of tension. So we are at the window and we monitor daily the evolution of this situation. I don't know if I answered the question.
No, that's clear. Thanks. You mentioned in the release a few times a comparison with peers. Now, obviously, like I know there's many of your peers for each of the divisions, but I was wondering if you could just outline with a bit more clarity, like, who are those peers and what are the subset of like companies or market data points you're kind of benchmarking GVS against?
Historically, we benchmark ourselves with the life science filtration company. So Merck Millipore, Sartorius, Paul, Danaher, these are our, let's say, personal reference when we benchmark our result. And these are our main competitor in the core business of the company that is life science and healthcare today.
Okay, great. And then just a final question. Obviously, you still had 50 million euros of sales from disposable masks. Obviously, in the most recent quarter, it was a lower run rate than it was at the beginning of the year. In 2022, where are you expecting kind of like disposable mask sales to be? I can imagine there'll still be, I don't know, maybe 10 to 20 million. Is that your base case assumption? And then also in the healthcare and life sciences, it sounds like in the fourth quarter, the healthcare air and gas business started to see a bit of a deterioration. And I guess this had obviously a bit of a COVID beneficiary too. So should we be expecting still some headwinds in the healthcare air and gas in 2022 as well?
For what regards the disposable mask, our expectation for this year would be to stay in about 6 or 7 million euros, no more than this. The target of 20 million is to be reached in maybe 2 years, 3 years, let me say, of commercial work that we do in the hospital. For what regards healthcare, we are expecting a positive returns of the air filtration for next year, and so a positive growth in this subdivision, as we expect all the liquid and the life science.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Matteo Bonizzoni of Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Just a quick follow-up on the 2022 expectation. So starting from this margin of 31.9, so basically 32%, which you posted the adjusted EBITDA margin in 2021, is it fair to assume that all in all in 2022 we could experience a sort of 1 percentage point decline? And as regards the revenues, you say moderate growth, including the acquisition. At current perimeter, so excluding the coming potential acquisition to be consolidated by the year end, is it fair to assume revenues in the region of, let's say, 350, 345 to 350? Thanks.
Well, in terms of EBITDA, again, is a very complex year to give you a clear forecast. Our aim, of course, is to remain around the result of 2021, that we believe is something that can be achieved. But the situation is...
In the dilution related to the acquisition that we close now?
Yeah, eliminating the M&A and this area, remaining on the historical product line, but again, it's a very quickly and rapidly changing situation in a day by day. For what we have in our hand now, I would say that on our historical product line, I am not expecting the climate in this way.
The budget are moving.
And as regards revenues, can you comment maybe?
The level is quite in line with the your indication, because that is the room that we expect for this year. Then we depend a little bit from the ongoing of the geopolitical situation, energy mobility trend for the year, but more or less we should stay in that room.
Okay, thank you.
For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Jamie Lewis of Threadneedle. Please go ahead.
Hello there. Good afternoon. Just one quick point of clarification, please, if I may. You mentioned about a successful trial, I think, with the hydrogen filter for the mobility segment. I just hope maybe you could expand on that. And secondly, when we've spoken previously, we've discussed battery separator in that same segment, whether that was the same product, or if it's not, I would also appreciate an update on that. Thank you.
Starting from the end, they are not the same product because chemically and by composition, they are two different materials, but they come out from the same research project. So the project is aimed to develop a battery separator and an hydrogen fuel cell separator. We are working in direction, and the team that is working on this is the same, because the know-how that you need to have on conductivity, electricity, etc., at the end is the same. But the physical material is different from the one of the battery separator. For what regards to the hydrogen, is a composite material, so it's a membrane with other component mixed together with the polymer, and we are developing this with a partner in Italy, and the result being tested by our partner, and the prototype used by our partner, the result has been excellent. Of course, it's not something quick and immediate, because then we need to transform this into industrial production, so it requires a specific machine for the production of this material, and that means at least another year of working to have a fully industrialized the product.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Let me just, in this empty space, add a few things more on the hydrogen that we truly believe might really be the answer for the future, because it's really clean in terms of energy production, and the nice thing is that the player in this market, it's only one, and in terms of important player, and so the market is definitely open and absolutely interesting for our group, and this can really make the difference in the next few years in terms of the result of the energy mobility division. So this is a strategy that we started already 1.5 years ago, if not more, and slowly, as all the R&D, medium, long-term research, but slowly is bringing result, and this is important in confirming the quality of the team. Okay.
There are no more questions.
Okay, thank you very much, and thank you for your participation. And at this point, I believe that the next appointment is the...
May,
the shareholder.
Without any news between today and May.
Let's see. Okay, thank you very much, and good afternoon, good morning, and good evening to everybody.